Welcome to the Spar Girls podcast, the self-publishing podcast for authors. You're in the right place for the very best marketing, writing and publishing advice, plus interviews with industry experts and best-selling authors. I'm Shah Barrett.
I'm Cheryl Phipps.
I'm Wendy Vella.
And I'm Trudy J. Hello and welcome.
The game's
Happy
back.
Valentine's week.
Yes, yes. Happy Valentine's to everyone.
We love you.
yeah, we love you.
My daughter and I, Zoe, have been practicing saying Elmo voice. Elmo loves you.
Is that good? Quite annoying.
That's really not annoying at all.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, no.
But Elmo loves you. No. Okay. So we
that's
thought,
really annoying, actually.
Oh, but don't you like my Elmo voice?
No, we don't. Anyhow. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Right. So this for Valentine's week, we figured we would do a Valentine's themed show, which is all about how to love your writing self. So not just your writing, but everything to do with you and your writing and how to make yourself feel better and do better and be better and be more loving to yourself, basically. It's all the things that
love
we can think of. Love yourself. So first of all, let's all just sit here and feel the glow of loving ourselves.
Oh, yes.
Mm. No, I can't do that because I'm with my parents at the moment. My father's going to come in his pajamas at the moment and ask me if I want a cup
about
of tea.
Loving.
Cup of tea. That's cup of tea, love.
You just say yes.
So if I disappear, guys, you know what's going on. It's not
you're
you,
making
it's
a cup
me.
Of tea. Yeah. So the first one was love your writing. So what? Yep. And the idea is, what can you do this week to kind of help you love your writing or love it more if you already love it, or what can you do to kind of help your just increase the love for your writing? So for me, who is a total input learner, Clifton Strengths person, I was like, treat yourself to a writing course or a craft course.
Yeah, there you go.
That was my first thought. I was like,
something new,
learning something. So for me, that's full. I just think that would, that kind of stuff makes me feel happy and good and love my writing more because I get to think about it and do all that kind of stuff. But what about you guys? What would you do to make yourself feel good about your writing?
I'm actually in the just starting a new series. So I am totally in love with my writing. Mm. I do not need any help along that, that matter, which is like, it's very, very exhilarating to not have to be stressing about the writing. Everything else, stressing a little bit about that. But anyway.
Yeah.
What about you, Wendy?
And so, well, that's a good point, though, just before we move on to Wendy, is so start something new, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be the tip there. Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting.
Right. And even just writing anything standalone, I reckon, freshens things up a lot, you know. Mm. I'm finishing series up at the moment and I had the lure of two new ones to start. So, writing is quite hard?
I feel like that would be hard if, like, you're like, the sparkly new series is over here.
What's hard is that I have to finish these books and write the epilogue, the blurbs for the new books. So that means I'm at sort of odds stage where I'm wrapping up, but I'm doing this. So there's quite a lot of work still sort of piling up. And of course, with having had a few family issues, I can feel what I didn't want to happen happening. And that's
it. Yeah.
I can feel my shoulders starting to rise and, you know.
Okay. So what can you do to help you love your writing more at the moment?
The writing's fine. I can just sit down and just put my headphones and disappear. I'm fine there. It's all the other stuff. So it's okay. No, writing's going well.
Is there something that you do that or is it just innate and natural to you to love your writing? Like, is there something?
It's not natural. I hate my writing sometimes. We all do. You're the same.
I guess that's quite true. I guess I hate to say I hate it, but there are moments when I guess you do. But for me, not as many, I don't think. Yeah. Or
Wendy goes through stages, quite clear, delineated stages.
It's the cycle. It's where you're at in the
cycle
book.
Of life.
When you start the book, you're like, so there, you know. I started one the other day and I was like, 3,000 words in, this is just rocking, you know, and I just and in the back of my mind, it's like, that middle's coming.
So maybe part of the whole love your writing is actually also understanding understanding that it's easier to love your writing at different stages of the journey, kind of thing, or the process. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but life, real life is not about loving. You can't love everything. That's not normal, right?
No. Well, yes. So there
are parts. You can't love everything every minute.
No, that's right. That's what makes us love the things more when we do get them bang on, right?
You have to have the highs and lows to appreciate the highs.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Even the best jobs in the world, I should imagine, they had moments, right?
Yeah, totally.
I remember those moments.
Yeah.
So I think maybe the point is to know the process. And so if maybe you're in a bit that you don't love, know that the good bits are coming and that you just have to get through this bit to get to the good bit, the bit that you can love more. But also know that it's highs and lows. So, you know, things, it comes and flows. So it's not, you're not going to be in this horrible stage forever, and you will come to the stage that you love again. And I had another point, but I can't remember what it was. It was something Cheryl just said.
And you can change things up a little bit as well. Like, so, you know, freshen things up, and you can reintroduce some more, you know, reignite the spark.
Sometimes you've just got to work on something else.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like if it's doing your head in that you can't get past a plot point, or something's not gelling, to be honest, you're going to work that out in the edits, no matter what it is, because you're going to find stuff in the edits anyway. So sometimes if you just move on to the next chapter, or like in Wendy's case where she's got these other two books, you know, she could move on to writing a blurb or just something different, so that you're not, it's not all negative, like you're not just saying that you're in this horrible slump of I hate my writing.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Exactly right. And also, just loving. For me, it's if I find myself going down that, I'll just get up, go out for a walk, or go to the cafe.
Change position.
And environmental change is massive.
100%. So loving your writing, I think that's a good summation, right? Like what we've just talked about. The one thing I would also say is that it's a mindset too. Like it's I know for me, I can get down and kind of go, oh, I can't get to it, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm and it's, you know, we're all like that as writers. We live in our heads. We spiral and we live in our heads. So just acknowledge that if you can feel it happening, and just kind of stop and take a breath and maybe just think yourself, but not, don't think yourself through it, actually. Just kind of go, actually, it's fine. And what can I do? What's one small step? What's one little thing that I can do to kind of move back towards where I need to be, maybe?
And sometimes you just have to slog through it to come out the other side, you know. And then when you're coming out the other side and you get to the end, you're like, this is the best book I've ever written, you know. And you're like, you're coming out the other side that way, you know.
I think it's important to celebrate everything you do, not just finishing a book, but if something has been really, really hard, then enjoy the moment when you get through it, or you change it up, or whatever you do to, you know, relieve that dislike.
Be proud of yourself. That's the love too, you know. Love yourself and acknowledge, you know, what you've achieved.
I think sometimes there's this negative connotation to being proud of yourself, like being prideful. Like it's.
Particularly for Kiwis. It's that tall poppy syndrome. I don't think generalization. I don't think other countries in general have the same degree that we do here. It is. Very much that you absolutely do not poke your head above the parapet, or you'll get cut down, and you will.
I'm not even talking about that. Like, I'm talking about just for yourself, be proud. Like, you don't have to. I'm not even talking about going around.
Yeah, but it's not in our DNA. Awesome,
it's not. No,
not in our DNA.
When you were raised,
you know what I mean?
It's that. I think it is. It's kind of baked in a lot, and you know, hopefully, it's changing. But I don't think it isn't.
Because I think the tall poppy is kind of different to what I'm talking about with being proud of yourself. Like, tall poppy in my mind is like when someone does really, really well and we can see them on a public stage, and then New Zealanders kind of cut them down. Whereas I'm not talking about like necessarily being, it's just be proud of yourself for getting through a difficult stage in your writing process.
Absolutely.
Just don't kind of go, oh, that was hard, and that's like, you know, like, awesome. I did something hard and I succeeded, and that was awesome, you know, like
that's very true.
Anyway,
okay.
It's hard to do that though.
Oh yeah, sure. But maybe put a note. Maybe make it on your to-do list. Be proud that I made it through today. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's not as easy as it sounds.
No. All
right. So the next, is everyone sort of okay
yep.
with
yep.
that? We've all done that. So the next one was love your body as a writer. So
yeah, this is super important. This is super, super, super important. You know,
not loving it right now.
No. You know, we're not designed to be sitting at a desk 6, 7, 8 plus hours a day. It's just not good for us at all.
It's funny.
They say sitting is the new smoking, and it's true.
Yeah. I've got builders who've been around our house and building things around the place, and one of them came up to me the other day and he goes, "Oh, you sit a lot, don't you? You sit at your computer a lot of the day." Uh-oh. And I was kind of like, "Oh, gosh, so he's noticed." Like, he's
coming up looking in my window.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's right. But I was just like, kind of like,
it feels a little confronting for somebody to actually point it out.
He was kind of like, "Do you like that?" You know? I was like, "Well, I guess I do. Okay, I don't know."
You kind of want to go, "Yeah, guilty." Yeah. It was me.
It felt a bit like that, actually. And kind of kept, I was sort of saying to him, "Oh, no, I like the writing, but I guess maybe I should be standing up more or something." Like, I don't know. Sort of felt like but it was just really funny to have that. And so we 100%, and I don't notice it, if you know what I mean.
Like,
we just go from, and in some ways it's like you're sitting down at your computer all day or doing whatever, and then you sit down to eat your dinner, and then maybe you sit down to watch a movie at night, or you sit down to talk to someone, or you sit down to go to a cafe and have a talk to someone, or you know it's not just when
isn't it quite scary though when you sit down to write and you're so into it and you look at the clock and 3 or 4 hours have gone by.
Yeah. It is until you go to stand up and your back is kind of crunched into it.
And your knees go, "No."
Yeah.
And your neck and shoulders scream at you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do this month is love my neck and shoulders month.
Yeah.
Because I'm in so much pain in the side of under my head and in my neck, and it's got really bad.
Yeah.
Just been moving around a lot, you know, like coming. Yeah. Looking after my parents and doing that, and you know, you're like, your
heart, it's physical, it's
your environment, absolutely. You know. So, I'm gonna just
it's also stress as well.
Love my neck and shoulders.
So that's cool. So, what else are we doing to love our bodies this month? Like, what are we gonna?
You've got to move, you've got to 30 minutes every day, you've got to walk. And I know for our friends in the Northern Hemisphere at the moment, if it's icy and snow, that's different, but you know, whether you've got a treadmill or I don't know.
Even just doing stretches,
just moving. Yeah, moving out of the seated position.
Mother-in-law, she has a deck. She can't walk around her property because it's you know, she's had falls and it's just too much. But she's got a reasonable sized deck, and she basically just does a loop through her house.
Good for her.
She does 500 steps twice a day, which to us who are able, that doesn't sound like a lot, but she has to do it.
Yeah.
She absolutely has to do it because she suffers from vertigo as well. So she just has to do some sort of movement. And breaking it up like that, I think, you know, obviously she's had specialists and that tell her what she needs to do. But I think for us, we're all intelligent people, right?
We know what we should do, but sometimes. Do.
So I don't know. Maybe you just have to put something into plan, like a timer or. I'm not good with that kind of stuff, but you can put an alarm on your phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is why I like Pomodoros in some ways, because you can set it for 25 minutes and then you do 5 minutes of some form of activity, and then that's just an easy way. And then say you do, I don't know, 4 or 5 Pomodoros, then that's 4 or 5, you know, then you get 25 minutes of exercise, even if it's just 5 minutes between. It still kind of counts as that period. And if it's – or you could be doing squats or lunges or – if you don't want to stretch, you know, you want to do something.
Well, they say squats are the best thing you can do, to be honest, just for your joints. And I know this is going to sound horrible, but if you go to the bathroom in the morning and you squat over the bathroom, and I'm talking the WC, if you squat over that just 5 times every morning and 5 times every night.
When you say squat, are your feet on the seat or are they on the floor?
On the floor, and you're just checking. Going,
"Why would that be?" I don't think any of us are that bendy.
If you do that, like even just 5 times in the morning, 5 times at night, but just start 5 times every morning for a week. And what it does is it lubricates, it gets your joints all going. It gets, it's really, really good for your core strength. It's all sorts of things. And that is a real good way to start.
And if you want to sit down, you're in the perfect position for it.
And by the time you've done your exercise, yeah.
I couldn't do it before I needed to pee, though. Like, I would just have to go.
Okay, let's not go there. Okay. Another part of loving your body is actually having a good chair and a good ergonomic setup as well. Mm. And, I mean, it's old school, but it's true.
That's important.
You know, having a – if you've got to do a lot of mouse work, an ergonomic mouse, I've moved on to a normal keyboard, but I used to have an ergonomic one that was fantastic. You know, I think having the right – tools to support your body is super important, making sure that your screen is eye level, you know, whether you have to lift yourself or the screen up. I think, you know, going back to Trudy's carpenter, like, he's got the right tools, right? You wouldn't expect him to be building with a blunt saw or a dodgy kind of hammer or, you know, whatever. So we need the right tools, particularly if you're doing this full time.
It would be nice if it was.
I don't know what a dodgy hammer would look like, but
you can get ergonomic hammers and that kind of thing, or, you know.
No, I know what you mean.
So, yeah, I think.
But we tend to make do, right? We just think
that's it. And particularly if it's a hobby still, or people put it down as a hobby or whatever, you know, you think, I'm not going to invest in it. But yeah, I think it's really important for your longevity as well as your comfort.
And back pain can be quite debilitating. My husband's got a sore back at the moment. We literally just bought him a new office chair because he found that every time he does a lot of the graphics and things like that for me, the covers, and sitting at that computer chair for too long, and it was actually killing his back. So, and it was too short a chair and it was all wrong. So now he's got a good chair that's got his back straight and he's feeling much better, you know?
And yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you've thought to yourself, I've just got an idea for my book or whatever, I'll just quickly just type that in. And, you know, you're busy doing something, I don't know, making dinner or whatever, and you come and you sit down in your chair, any old how, and then an hour later, you're still sitting in that terrible position because you just don't recognise it, you know. So I think maybe thinking purposefully. Oh, when you sit down in your chair, that is always a certain way.
Yeah.
Like, it's always, I sit down like this, and this is how I sit, and this is how I type. And we know we're all going to slouch and all that sort of thing. But I think being mindful quite often during the day might actually help you to do it better.
And it's funny how, as you get older and you start getting a few more aches and pains, how much more careful you are about all of this. Yes. And when you're in your 20s,
I guess that's
you
true.
don't get so many aches and pains. You kind of not so.
Well, you're much more bendy for a start, aren't you?
Yeah, you're more bendy when you're in your 20s. So if you're in your 20s and you're listening to this, just
look after yourself
and enjoy it.
Be happy. What else?
The other thing I like to get is a massage. I love massages, and it's funny. Like, the last time I went to a massage, because I had a sore shoulder, and I was like, "Oh, sore shoulder." He actually was massaging like in my armpits and down my side, and it was like it was kind of like places. And he said my arm wasn't straightening properly, and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, it was actually really good.
And
he loosened it off, and my arm was going straighter than it had before. But it just I'd never had a massage person do anything along those lines before. So it was really intriguing to me that's something that
Everything's connected, right? All the muscles are all connected. So it's
I think stretching, getting a good stretch regime's massive.
Actually, I was watching something the other day, and it's quite a while ago, and that when you wake up, you don't get up straight away. You actually do a few really gentle stretches, you know, just kind of like on your back with just like lifting your knees up to your chest and that sort of thing, but then rolling on your sides and just lifting up one leg at a time. So it's no big deal. It's just like taking an extra 5 minutes of your morning just to get things going. Then you can do windy stuff in the toilet.
I lay on my Shakti mat every morning before I
do get you?
It's a spiky mat. Yeah.
I love the Shakti mat. That's really awesome too. And it doesn't feel like you're loving your body as you're doing it, because it's a billion little sharp pointy things along all the way along your back. But it's really good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? Oh, exercise, right? Loving your body.
Yeah.
Walking, yoga. I really love yoga. And it's kind of like the combination of the exercise and the stretching that Wendy was talking about. Even I like I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast hundreds of times before, but like going and doing something, like I do karate and yoga, and I like it because it gets me out of my head. Mm. So I'm no longer thinking of all the 100 billion things that I have to do and all the things I'm panicking and worrying about, but I just go and do karate and I just focus on my body and I'm just, I'm out of my head.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really useful for us as authors, because I think you just need to, loving your body, but also focusing down on your body helps you get out of your head. That's it.
Yeah, it's important. Exercise is important.
And so is drinking, hydration. None of us are drinking enough. I can almost guarantee it. None of us.
Huge. We're basically houseplants, right?
We basically are. Yeah. So.
And it's quite funny because I've been doing this program where I was like drinking 2 liters of water a day. And my mum was really concerned for me that I was drinking too much water, and she'd heard this thing saying, "Oh no, you shouldn't drink any water," and we're drinking too much water and all this. You know,
there's all this
stuff.
That,
I know stuff goes around, and one person says this, and one. But I honestly think hydration is important.
Particularly if you're getting headaches and things like that.
That is a key point, isn't it? If you start getting headaches, you can bet your bottom dollar, as a rule, it's probably lack of water.
Yeah.
And eyes are another thing we need to look after, our eyes a little bit. You know?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
good point. Get your eyes tested.
Yeah. I just got my eyes tested recently, and I got my first reading glasses.
You'll be thrilled, because you've wanted those for ages.
You're a big girl. I can't read them normally, because I can't see anything except for when I'm holding the book pages right here, and I can see the books really well now. But I look up and it goes, "Oh, that's horrible. It's all fuzzy."
So you were just fighting it. You're just fighting the
it's
whole idea.
It's all downhill from now.
Yeah.
I wasn't fighting it. I've always wanted glasses because I think they make you look smarter. And
It's true, they do. It's very true.
And I always
thought that about you.
Yeah, thanks. You weren't as smart as us. Everyone else wears glasses except for me. But I still can't wear them because it would actually make me go mental on the podcast because I can't see.
You might need to get some clear glass ones just to make you look smart.
I have got clear glass ones, don't you worry about that.
Of course you have.
Goodness. Of course I have.
It's just loving yourself, is it? You're loving yourself because you've got glasses.
This is me loving myself, is because I like how I look with glasses on. Bunch of meanies.
No meanies here, mate. We're just jealous.
We know that she was jumping up and down when the optician said, yes.
You need glasses, dear.
Do you know what he said to me? He said, "It's only very slight and you don't really need them yet, but you can get them if you want them." And I was like, "I'm 100% getting them now." I'm not waiting.
I hate going to the opticians because every time you go, he goes, "I'm sorry, I'm going to have to increase the strength."
Yeah,
you know, I'm like, damn. And then
Anyway, but you got to look after them, right? Because their eyes.
Eyes are very important. Mm. Yeah.
Even wearing sunglasses is vital because being out in the sun these days, you know, that can really hurt your eyes.
And actually, that's another good point is because we work so much on computers, it's a really good idea to take a break sometimes and just read a book, just read a paperback, because it's just another form. And I think it just gives your eyes a rest.
Yeah, and also look in the distance too. Look up from the screen, look into the distance as well is really important. Yeah.
So TikTok has tricked me into buying paperbacks again. I usually used to read exclusively on my ebook, and now I've got all these paperbacks. Yeah. And I've discovered that I really like reading paperbacks at night instead of reading on I read on my phone. So maybe if someone's out there with a really awesome Kindle that's got like that e-ink stuff that doesn't have the glow and isn't bad for your eyes, but I don't have that. And so now I'm back to reading paper, and that's kind of cool.
The only problem with paperbacks now for me, showing my age terribly, is the writing so small?
It can be. It's ridiculously.
The old book, you have glasses, dude.
I know, dude.
You can get large print.
I refuse, okay? Absolutely refuse. I picked up my dad's book yesterday and what are you reading it? Oh,
I can see the words.
And he's got a magnifying glass and it's
as well. Oh,
my God, yeah. No, thank you.
All right.
Anywho, okay. So
I'm guessing that love your mind comes after the loving your body.
It does.
As well,
it does.
Alongside.
So I don't know if love your mind is the one. And I think kind of our brains, there's a physical aspect to looking after your brain and like, exercising and eating healthy and all those kinds of things. And then there's also the kind of like cognitive aspect of it, like thinking and creating the right mindset for that. So let's talk about those two sort of aspects.
Clearing one, I think, the crap is, out.
Pardon? Clearing the
clearing the crap out. Yeah.
Decluttering. Yeah, I think that's a very true, actually. Decluttering your environment, but decluttering your brain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We worry over
a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah. It's hard not to, right? Like, we kind of get taught to.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like you said before, Trudy, as writers, we spend a lot of time in our heads, and it's very easy to get lost in there and to overthink things and to go off in kind of little whirlpools as well. So, you know,
I think there's a lot of doors in there. A lot of doors.
Compared to most people, right?
My mother, who to be fair loves to find things to worry about, she said to me the other day, "I worry so much about you, Trudy, because there's so much going on in your head, and I just worry that there's too much." And I'm like, "Oh my God!" Of all the things that she needs to worry about, she honestly don't worry about my brain having ideas. Like, it was just funny, but.
Yeah. But I mean, I think a lot of I'll think things sometimes like, "Don't let that out. Don't let it out. Don't say it when you're out. Okay, just keep it inside. You know, like, I'm sitting there having a coffee with someone, and I'm like, "Oh, I just got a great idea," and blah, 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 blah. You know, like, and it's like awful when you think they're not going to get that. They're so not going to get that at all.
And you do let it out, and people's eyes glaze, or they look like deer in headlights. Like, what is she talking about?
How do we make her stop talking?
I talk to myself when I'm driving the car alone.
Yes.
And I have, like, I just talk all of that out. Like, I could be this, it could be that, blah, 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 blah. And the other day, a friend of mine happened to be on the freeway at the same time, and he said, "You're having a real, I hope you've got Bluetooth, because you're having a real conversation. You didn't even notice me when I was driving past." And, like, I had to pretend that I did have
it. Well, you didn't have to, but it's good to make people think
Yeah, I think,
The normal ship sailed along ago, eh?
Just as a general rule, part of the whole loving yourself, I think, for writing for your body and for your mind is actually connecting with other writers, and you realize that a lot of us are the same, and you're not the only one that has these weird conversations with yourself.
And besides which, nobody knows that you're not singing. You could be singing in the car.
He definitely knew I wasn't singing, because I probably, he just knew I was having a very real intense conversation. It's like, it was.
I'm sorting my stuff out.
Yeah, exactly. And, there's all kinds of things you can do. Again, stress and depression and anxiety, are common features of the writer's life as well. So,
how do we deal with stress? I think it's a
lot of what we've already talked about, which is loving your body, because it usually manifests in the physical. Might come from the mental end, but it certainly ever. So what you've talked about before was exercise, and I'd say meditation into that as well,
and maybe all of sharing,
that kind of stuff.
Maybe sharing,
and connecting with others, whether it's therapy or friend or other writers. I think when you realise that other people have the same or go through the same journey, not necessarily exactly the same, but they have the same kind of doubts and fears and all of that kind of stuff, it makes you feel, because I think you can feel very isolated, that it's only you and everybody else has got their SHIT together, and you realize that nobody has their SHIT together all the time. So you have moments of it, but I think our minds can tell us that it's just us very easily, that this is how we're feeling really easily, and it's not, and particularly if it's depression lies. I've been there, and it's telling you that, this is it. Yeah, and this is as good as you're going to feel. And it's an awful place to be. And if you're feeling like that, I empathize tremendously, because I know how it feels. But I think that's when, there's other things now, there's apps, there's therapy apps online now. I'm a big one for sitting face to face, but you just can do what you can do, and depending on health insurance and all that kind of stuff, that those are, it's a privileged place to be to get help, but hopefully there's something out there to help people, because you don't need to suffer alone. So that's my little soapbox on that one.
Yeah. So also with stress, like you mentioned meditation, and that's interesting because in my mind it used to be that meditation was, you know, monks sitting there and spending tens of years perfecting the art of not having a thing in their mind and doing that humming noise. And I can never been able to not have anything in my mind. And
it feel like a blissful state.
Writers are like that. But when they talk about meditation these days, you can get guided meditations.
Yeah. And I mean, the apps are amazing. You've got Headspace, you've got Calm. I personally love Calm app. They've got free trials, so you don't have to go and spend a fortune on them yet. There's other ones like YouTube has got lots of channels there that you can listen to.
So there's ones for, you can do ones for like writing productivity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, Paul McKenna, he does weight loss ones, but he does lots of different ones for different things.
Paul McKenna is the one that got me happily on a 16-hour flight to the States. And it's the best $8 I've ever spent. That's New Zealand dollars on an app. Yeah. Seriously, it's he does specific ones and fantastic.
I do Mind Valley, and that's a whole lot of courses and stuff, but they also have these meditations.
Yeah.
And it's just sometimes it's just about it's this person guiding you through deep breathing and just being calm and letting out letting all of the other stuff that's around you disappear, and you're just focused on your body. And it's amazing how much better you can feel even after 5 to 10 minutes of having a soothing voice in your head telling you to just.
And I think that's the thing too. I think also, and I know I hear this, there's a misconception. I can't do it for 20 minutes. Like I don't have the time, like I don't have the focus, you know, so you can start really short, and that can give you it's like a little kind of mini break in the day, and it is very, very good.
Headspace is also on Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And, you can watch it on your phone because they have a sleep one, and I listen to the stories. It's just someone telling you a story 40 minutes at night.
Yeah.
And as soon as their voices start, I'm just
I do that too, actually.
In the same vein, actually, side note, I noticed that Headspace was on, certainly on Air New Zealand, and I'm pretty sure it was on American Airlines too, on the entertainment thing as well. So it's become very mainstream now, you know.
There's a really cool guy.
Showing my age here, but 20 years ago, it was sort of the domain more of the slightly, it was sort of more woo-woo and out there, and it was just a bit left of centre kind of thing, whereas now it's just, you know,
there's some really good guys on TikTok too. I listen to one on there.
He's got
the voice of an angel, and as soon as I hear him, my eyes go, and I start snoring. It's like he's got this voice that just puts you straight. It's like, and all the people asked him to read something, and he didn't. He wrote. It was just like a kid's story, and I was just like 5 seconds later.
We all respond to different voices because I always thought I was used to the Headspace guy, which is a male English guy, so I was sort of used to that, which is very soothing. But the Calm lady is an American,
she's all right though,
Canadian female, and she's got the most it's lovely voice. So just whatever works for you, but just try
Headspace does have multiple people, you can find different ones.
When it first started though, we were I'm pretty sure Wendy and I were some of the first ones on Headspace. We were the OG. And
as we are. We're usually in the forefront, mate. You know,
we're out there pioneering, you know.
But I want to touch at the back, dragging my heels, saying I don't like change. That's me.
Mm. Excuse you. It's more Cheryl and I that don't like change. You two love change. What I want to touch on is the sleep factor, because it's another big part of you know, I haven't had much sleep over the last couple of days for various reasons, and you feel like you're actually operating wading through a bowl of jello, you know, it's like you're just not sharp, everything annoys you, you can feel the tension, you just want to turn around and snap. Sleep is vital.
And you get wired and tired, so you're exhausted, but then you lie in bed. It's,
My daughter started at a new school, and I think I'm more worried about the new school than she is. And so the night before her first day at this new school, I was up half the night, like lying there worrying about stuff. So we do that, right? Like
everything manifests at night too. Yes. Like what doesn't bother us during the day really bothers us at night.
That what if thing. What if this happens and what if that happens? Well, it may or it may not. But
I find myself going over conversations I had 30 years ago and redoing it where I should have done it better. It's always a good one.
We just had the floods here, you know, like, and I was looking after my 90-year-old dad, and I was like, at night I had it all planned what I was going to do if I had to evacuate, you know. Yeah.
I know.
You kind of have to, don't you? But yeah. It does. Yeah, but it's so funny, loop, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, you just it's all part of it. Mindfulness, the sleep, the exercise, they're all just will make you a better person. Yeah. And then that'll sort of roll over into being a better writer, and your work ethic will be better. It's all part and parcel.
The other big thing with that I would add as well is breathing. Mm-hmm. And this is something huge that I've been doing recently. And I, again, with the weight loss thing that I was doing last year, and this is to do with weight loss. He was like, it's vital to lower your stress levels, lower your cortisol levels, because your body's hold on to fat, whether or not you're eating really healthily or not, if you're overly stressed. So one of the things they have you do before they even work on the food that you're eating is getting you to do a breathing exercise every day. And that was interesting to me.
Mm.
And so it was just breathing in for the count of five, holding your breath
for five, seven.
And then he was just five. So you can do different ones, but this one was just 5, 5, 5. So breathing in for 5, holding for 5, and breathing out for 5. And you do that 5 times. And you just do that 5 times a day. I mean,
it's easy to remember, isn't it?
Yeah. So 5 in, 5 hold, 5 out, 5 times a day, 5 times in a row, once a day. Well, I think he made us do it twice a day, whatever. But it's just, and that's all that is just telling your body that it's okay and calming yourself down and just lowering those cortisol.
It's really good for sleep too. Like if you can't sleep and you wake up in the middle of the night, you just keep doing it.
The sleeping one is more about the breathing in more and then like 7.
Holding. 5, 7, 8 out.
Yeah, you got to always breathe out longer than you breathe in, regardless of breathing in. But I think that's what's more apparent now or being talked about more is how it's all connected. All these different things are connected, whereas I think maybe, you know, a while ago, using my age here, back in the day, it was sort of separate things, you know, you were sort of, yeah, but now it's now we're all going to continue. Basically, we're just animals and we're machines, and you've just got to, you know, we're not machines, we're animals. And so, you know, the old reptilian brain is still pretty basic. So we've got to calm it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think when life is tougher, that's when you need to love yourself more and more aware of, you know, whatever spiral you're on, whatever journey you're on that isn't making you happy, and do something about it sooner rather than later.
So part of that would also be there's a lot of us are hard on ourselves and create shame around like, oh, I didn't do this properly, or I should have known better, or I should have written more, or why are my books not set, you know, all those things. And you kind of make it, you're shaming yourselves. And part of that is like going, just love yourself, just be kind, don't be mean. If you wouldn't say, think about it, if you wouldn't say it to someone else, don't say it to yourself in some ways. Like we're so you're haranguing yourself for being an idiot, for doing this, that, next. Would you harangue your best friend for doing that? Or would you just go, they're just a person, they're just human, whatever, you know, like you'd forgive them. So just make sure you forgive yourself too. I think that kind of stuff is big with writers because we are, again, all in our heads.
I think also, on that note of other people, is not buying into other people. You know, like that can really...
The drama
can poison your outlook and the way you're feeling. And, you know, so if you can feel it, something get into you, get off the internet, get away, back away from that person. You know, just, you can't always surround yourself with positive, happy, loving people, but for the most part, it is quite good.
The real world does happen. But I feel like this could almost be another title would be love your community, like love your, like try and, I mean, the old saying, comparison is a thief of joy. So true. And you don't know what's going on in another writer's life, you know, aside from the Instagram posts. You just don't. And believe me, we've seen a lot of extraordinarily successful, you know, by any measure, authors on here. But, you know, maybe we've had a like preliminary chat before we start recording and you realize that they've got all this other stuff going on in their lives that, you know, isn't part of the author world. So it's not something that we would talk about necessarily, but there's a lot of, whether it's family, health, whatever issues, you know, you just, nobody is walking this you know, yeah. 5 feet above the air, just that's on so clouds, true. You know. Yeah. And so it's easy to look at, you know, whether people are, you know, more prolific or doing better at ads or whatever. It's really easy to look at that and think, and just to, like you say, truly shame yourself for not doing that or not being able to do all the things all the time, you know. And I just think the path that way, it just leads to not happiness. It doesn't inspire.
It's okay to fail and pivot and do all of those things. Mm-hmm. That's something you just have to learn to accept, especially in this game, because life just steps in, doesn't it?
That's what I think, you know, you need to actually learn to love your life, because even if you are as successful as somebody else in a financial way, you will never live their life. You will never have their ups and downs and their pitfalls. So this is your life, and so you truly have to make the best of it. Sounds very trite, I know, but I think it's very, really true, because
you choose your life, right?
Yes,
like you're saying,
yeah. And it will only make you unhappy if you are always focusing on the negative side of it, that you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you don't have enough money or whatever. And I can attest to that, you know, like you can have goals, but you can't beat yourself up every second of the day. You just can't. No. It's not right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So love your community and love yourself as being.
Yeah, and I just think keep good people in it, and just, you know, be mindful about the forums that you're going on and the input that you're giving into your head, particularly if you're feeling a bit low about your writing or the business. It can be very easy to get a lot of confirmation for those bad feelings that you're feeling, maybe, you know, or the negativity. It's very easy. And, you know, there's a lot of change in self-publishing and the publishing world. You know, I guess 2023 for me will be the kind of the rays of AI for the better or the worse. And there's a lot of fear around any kind of change, you know, some justified, some not. And in my opinion, and, you know, it's fretting about it. I think you need to be aware of it, but I think sometimes if you spend a lot of time in a forum where people are going over the what ifs, I don't think that helps us. I really don't.
No, I agree. And also get out, read a book and listen to music. Do something you love. Don't put off what you love. Do your work and then do something you love. You know, like, that's, you know, I'm totally guilty of that. Totally guilty of that. You know, I need to do more.
I think another thing is do something awesome for your mind. Like Wendy, I took up playing the piano. She's learning to play the piano. Do puzzles, watch a movie, read a book, do something that's good for you and loving towards you. It's funny because it's we've spent a lot of time this podcast talking about kind of negative things almost. There's been a lot of don't do this, and so which is fun, kind of ironic about a podcast that was about love yourself. But I think it's just recognizing that these are the kind of things that you don't want to do, and looking for ways to kind of turn it around and make it positive.
I think,
and finding the opposites of that or something.
Yeah, and I think it's the challenge of doing. I mean, most people come to writing because they love reading and they love story and they love writing. And then when you switch into kind of making it a business mode, you can sort of lose that love of all of that stuff, of the reading, of the, you know. And I think one tip I would have is to do another form of creativity or express your creativity in another way, but that's not tied to any kind of measure of success, maybe financially or whatever. Like, you know, I paint very badly, but I really enjoy it, but it's not ever something I would turn into a business, if you like. And I think it's quite good. We're creative beings, so it's nice to be creative in a different way that you don't have those kind of expectations around. Do it for the love of it, you know.
Yeah. 100%. Do it for the love of it. That's good. I think that's a good place to end, is it not?
Yep,
I think so.
Perfect.
And, yeah, I mean, we do this for the love of it.
We do.
So, you know, but just know that you're a special person, and we really value that you're here listening and watching us. And we feel very privileged to be in your eardrums every week.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for that. And yeah, thank you all for being here with us for another episode of the Spa Girls podcast. We can be found where, Shah?
Well, if you don't know by now, you just have to put in Spa Girls podcast into the Googles and it will bring us up in all manner of places. Everywhere. If you want to watch us, we are developing a lovely community over it on YouTube, which we really appreciate your comments on there. It's wonderful to reach a new audience, even though we've been on the airwaves for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
We're also at patreon.com/Spa Girls Podcast, and you can join our Facebook group that way if you come in on one of the tiers there. But you don't have to do that. We just really appreciate, you know, a like, a share, all of that kind of stuff. We just appreciate you for being here. So
thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Spa Girls podcast. We'll be back again next week, but for now,
keep well.
Happy Galentine's.
Yes.
Bye.